Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beltway Blitz. What's good? Welcome back. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Covering teams you care the most about, jamming them into one segment, getting you a lot of intel. End of your workday. Hopefully you're just jumping in the car to go get something done. You get to listen to the segment every day at this time. Remember, Jason Wright, the president of the Washington football team, joins us at 4:20. Let's get to the Beltway Blitz. Let's talk some hoops with our buddy Wes Hall. Before I even ask you about the Wizards, bro, I got to figure out what you thought about this Brooklyn Nets deal. This was insane. It was yesterday the NBA trade deadline, Wes, and nobody told me?
It felt like it. It's just like one thing I've learned over the past year is that there's nothing. Whatever is unexpected or random is now the new norm. Like, just be ready. Be prepared. Keep your head on a swivel because this is what the future is. It's just going to be a nonstop barrage of what? Who? Wait, so now I need to write this down. So Caris LeVert's involved. Wait, now Victor Oladipo's involved. Where's he going? Wait, no, he's in Houston now. Okay. The Pacers are good. Now Brooklyn, of course, now they have their big three. But I don't even think it's going to work, but that's just me.
Wes, I did this, and I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did it. When that trade was consummated yesterday, after my initial, just like you're talking about, my head gets all dizzy, and then I'm sure there's like a Looney Tunes moment where steam came out of my ears, etc. Once I settled down, I did the thing that I think a lot of Wizards fans did. Well, if James Harden was worth that, and he quit on his team and was out of shape, what would Bradley Beal be worth?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
You see?
Jedi mind trick, I see. Yeah. Golly, you know what?
You're like a voice actor. You were, all of a sudden you were like a bad guy in the Transformers.
I believed.
Hey, I'm trying to find work, man. You know what I mean? We're all trying to keep the lights on. I honestly don't know what his worth would be, seriously, because A, I've never fathomed him moving. I just, in my mind state, I see him here and it's just like this season, have aspirations, even though we're on record not looking very well. But have aspirations for him to stay here. So if I were to try to do it, I would definitely say it would be an extremely blockbuster deal because his value is extremely high. And that's obviously why we want to keep him here. So if to think in the same neighborhood as Harden, I don't know. I mean, because then you're dealing with, you know, former MVP, scoring champ, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. It'd be an interesting situation. But if it's far, if I'm making deals, I'm going to need like an entire state. Literally, geographically, I want the whole thing, if you dare come for Mr. Beal.
Wes, I want you to talk about, you can name some of the Wizards, like anything Wizards-related you want, but in the voice of a bad guy from like a kid's TV show, if you would. Now you've got me thinking about this. So I want you to do like, think Power Rangers and like this guy that's plotting against them.
You want him to do Wildor?
You would like me to talk about, which player would you like, my friend? I mean, Movog now, Rui Hachimura,
Denny Avdija,
or perhaps Denny Avdija.
How do you feel about Denny so far?
I love what the young boy brings to the table. Figure, heart, passion.
But I was even just asking Wes Hall, but he's not even breaking.
I mean, you can ask me too. Back to my normal set, resetting. I love Denny. Seriously, I really love his energy. We've talked about these things about him having a high motor, high basketball IQ. They're soon to become cliches because it's going to be a given that that's what he brings to the table. And I love how he bounced back from a 0-point game against Boston to put up 20 against Miami. And that's the type of resilience that you can see from a young guy who really listens to his elders. I've seen multiple times that, you know, he goes over and confers with Westbrook often. And, you know, in the middle of the game, Russ is coaching him up, and Denny's listening and reaffirming things after, you know, each trip down court. You can see him look over and kind of go, am I doing this right? And he's like, yeah, I got you. So, yeah, I love what he's got. Massive potential.
What's the latest on Russ in that quad? It sounds like bad news yesterday, huh?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, so in all honesty, yes, a situation where apparently as of late, I think Quentin Mayo also tweeted this out earlier, that according to his sources, that, you know, things are a little more serious than was previously understood. And so that could keep him out for a little bit longer. But again, it's unfortunate because there was a lot of expectation coming in at the early part of this season. And it's not over because, I mean, we're only 10 games in, and with these two games that are postponed, that would have been 11 games in season. So, you know, we've got a long way to go. I think we just crossed the seventh. If you broke the schedule into it, we're only 1/7 of the season through. So we got a long road ahead of us.
Be well. Thank you, sir. We'll chat with you soon.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thanks.
It's hockey night in D.C. Let's get to it. The wait is over. Finally, they'll drop the puck on a brand new season. Ben Raby of the Capitals Radio Network. And Ben, it felt like this day just wasn't coming, buddy. I was skeptical we'd even have a season at one point, but here we are. The Caps are getting started tonight. How do you feel about this new look group?
I feel good about the Capitals, but a challenge in this East Division, presented by MassMutual, by the way. This division is loaded. This is, to use a soccer analogy, World Cup style. They always say there's a group of death. You look at the realignment in the NHL, the reconfiguration. Capitals are going to have their hands full just in terms of the competition. Intra-division play only. And I'll say real quick, out of the eight teams in the division, top four make the playoffs. There's going to be two very good teams being left on the outside. I don't think the Capitals will be on the outside, but if they're to finish in the top four, they certainly will have earned it in this division.
Give me a primer on Peter Laviolette's style, Ben.
Well, he's looking for the defense to activate, and you look at some of the offseason acquisitions, certainly a guy like Justin Schultz who comes over from the Pittsburgh Penguins. You put him on a back end alongside the likes, the familiar names of Orlov and John Carlson, and guys who aren't afraid to activate and join the rush. That's one of the bigger talking points, certainly, that's followed him, Peter Laviolette, throughout his career, and it was the company line throughout training camp, Danny. Sometimes easier said than done, but for a team that has struggled defensively over certainly the second half of last season, an area they're going to look to clean up is their play defensively. And again, easier said than done, but maybe the best defense is to play offense. They'll look to attack, and they'll look to have the D activate, join the rush, and be aggressive in terms of pinching and that type of activation from the back end.
Well, Alex Ovechkin has been pretty much coach-proof, I guess, Adam Oates notwithstanding. I mean, what will Peter Laviolette mean for him, do you think?
I think Alex Ovechkin is, at this point, Grant, a well-oiled machine. I don't think that the coaching necessarily makes a tremendous difference for him. We saw him excel under Barry Trotz and the experience and the street credibility, if you will, that Barry Trotz came to town with. I think the bigger one to keep an eye on here is Evgeny Kuznetsov. You know, one of the buzzwords with Peter Laviolette coming to town is accountability. It often is when there is a coaching change. Accountability and culture change. How often do we hear about that? But if you're looking for a Capitals player in particular who they need to be at his best more consistently, we've been saying it for years from Kuznetsov. We know what the potential is. We know what the ceiling is. We saw it in 2018. To me, it's one of the bigger storylines going into this season. What can the Capitals get out of Evgeny Kuznetsov, and how much can Peter Laviolette have a positive influence on Kuznetsov, who put up numbers but arguably wasn't at his best the previous 2 years under Todd Reardon?
Ben, last year the defensive pairings made me sad. Watching that team try to play defense was hurtful. It was frustrating. I found myself like wincing a lot, even though I wasn't in pain, but I kind of was in a way. How much improved will they be? Just better than last year to me isn't good enough. Will they be good?
You hope so. As far as the defensive pairing specifically, Danny, the one I'm intrigued to watch from the start, I mean, we haven't even mentioned Chara here, but the one I'm intrigued to start as far as actual pairings and partnerships is Orlov and Carlson, a tandem we saw years ago that general manager Brian McClellan described sometimes as high-event hockey. And when we talk about Peter Laviolette wanting to push the pace, wanting the D to join the rush and activate, certainly Orlov and Carlson can do that. Hopefully, it's not at the expense of their play defensively. So they're the top pair to start the year, Orlov and Carlson. And you look lower down the depth chart, Chara and Jensen, also an intriguing one, obviously, with the resume that Chara brings. And we'll see if that bodes well for Nick Jensen, who himself has battled inconsistency over his time in Washington.
Ben, always appreciate the time. I know it's a long time coming for you to get back in the saddle tonight, and you're ready to watch the puck drop. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yes, and congrats, fellas, on the new time slot. Well done.
Hey,
well earned.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you very, very much. That means a lot. All right, let's talk some football. Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, on the football team. Pete, I want to start with Brandon Scherff, weirdly enough. Is he going to be re-signed? Is that a done deal, so to speak, that they want him back, that they will open up the checkbook?
So when Brandon, he said a couple times, actually more than a couple times, basically every time he's talked about this the past couple of years, that he wants to join Washington and be there for the rest of his career. And I kind of took that at first as just Brandon being, you know, a good soldier and not wanting to bring distractions upon the team. But he said it so much that I'm starting to believe him. And then you combine that with how Ron Rivera stated he's got four offensive linemen locked up for the next couple of years and he wants to make it five. So there's definitely interest on both sides. And I believe Ron values the O-line and what that can do for both the running game and protection. So if I had to guess, I know it's going to be a pricey number, but Brandon's an all-pro. He played 13 out of 16 games, and he's still just 29. So I think they will get a deal done, and Brandon Scherff will be a Washington football team player for at least a couple more years, even though Jay Gruden just originally called him just a guard. He's a pretty damn good guard.
Guardy.
Pete, when I look at this team, there's a million ways to add players, right? Good free agent, wide receiver class, you know, the draft obviously is many months away. But all I'm doing is thinking about different pieces that could help this group. What's the first item on their shopping list? What should it be?
Well, I'll take out quarterback because that's obviously the first and main priority. But that's also kind of a boring answer. I like talking about other positions as well. And I'm just really excited about the list of these free agent receivers. I love the idea of pairing an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Golladay with Terry McLaurin. And I'm not opposed to them using a pick in the first round or the second round on somebody like Jaylen Waddle or Chris Olave, two guys who are in that title game on Monday night. But give me a tough jump ball type of receiver, someone you can rely on to get you another 70 or so catches and be a beast in the red zone, and put him across Terry McLaurin like some of these better offenses in the league have, where you don't know which wideout's going to go off in a given week, but you know one of them will, if not two, and that's where I'm really looking. So I like a receiver in free agency, and then maybe at 19, that seems like a perfect spot to get yourself a do-it-all linebacker. I'm not totally familiar with that class yet, but you always feel like there's a couple linebackers that go late in that first round, an experienced guy, an athletic guy, and I know Ron really wants that as well. So wide receiver in free agency and linebacker in the draft, I think that sets you up for a really good offseason right off the bat.
I will sign up for the Pete Haley plan. You're singing a song that I like there. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate your work on the Blitz today.
Hey, thank you, and like your previous guest said, congrats on the time slot, and hope you're there for another 20 years if that's what you want.
Appreciate you, man. Buddy. That's very sweet of you, and your efforts and the efforts of all of our guests have helped us, so thank you. We appreciate that. That is your Blitz. All right, we've been telling you all day that Jason Wright, the team president for the Washington football team, is joining us at 4:20, so let's step away and get ready for that conversation with the president of the football team next. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. We are your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps, but nobody in town talks more about the Washington football team than this radio station, and it is a pleasure right now to go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome onto the show the president of the Washington football team, Jason Wright, who just put the finishing touches on his first season at the controls of the business side of things out in Ashburn. Jason, it's Grant and Danny. Great to talk to you again. How you been?
Oh, I'm doing well, you guys. It's good to be on with you. How are you?
Good, buddy. Really appreciate you joining us, man. It's and first thing I want to ask you is, you went out of your way last week, or it wasn't last week, it was like 3 days ago. All the time is running together. And you said something really nice. You tweeted and you were like, "Hey, I'm listening to Grant and Danny. Congratulations on your new spot." And it was a very thoughtful, kind, nice thing. And I happened to click on the thread, and it was 800 people being like, "Hey, what's the name? What's the name going to be? Hey, Jason, you know what the name is? The name. And I was like, "Oh, my God, Jason Wright should never tweet." What's that like? What is that like, just living your life, minding your business? You go out for a quart of milk, and people are screaming at you about the team name.
I have learned to become acclimated to it. You got to just sort of sift through and find out who's really talking to you about something else that you can actually respond to and be helpful on and keep it moving. But you know what? Some of those are bots, though. That's the thing I've learned, because I'm not like a social media fluent guy. I'm new to it, but I do it because I think it's important for our fan base and it's important for us to be a bit more of an open book here than we've been in the past. So I do it despite the fact that I'm not great at it. But some of those are bots, and so the bots you can mute and keep it moving.
That's true. They're easier to mute than the actual human beings that are going to chase you down at Food Lion and tell you what they think.
Right.
You already mentioned one of the things that you want to do a little differently, and there are things that are obviously being done differently. You talk about culture a lot, as does Ron Rivera. It's a word that you guys use a bunch. I want to know what the culture was maybe that you found when you showed up and what the culture is now and where you guys have made your biggest strides. What's different now from when you got here?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. On the business side, there are a couple things that I think have shifted quickly. And this is a hard topic to discuss, because one of the quickest ways that you can start to shift culture is you start to shift the leaders that drive that culture, right? And so early on, I found that we didn't have, the ideas that folks in the front lines who are closest to our fans and closest to the folks that engage with us, their ideas weren't bubbling up to the surface. We weren't having innovation come forward of the things that would make us drive more value for folks and be closer to our fans and have them more excited about us. And I also realized we didn't have, data-driven thinking across the organization the way we want. So we're making smart decisions that are not only fiscally responsible, but have some sort of fact base to say, hey, this is really going to matter to our fans. And so, where leaders were on board with moving in that direction, we had a great home for them here. But where that wasn't the fit, we made some moves, and I think my leadership team is 90% different than it was 4 months ago, which is tough. And those are hard things. And it was a bit disruptive for our workforce. But I think everybody is already finding it to be an environment where they feel more free to innovate, where they feel free raising ideas, and we're getting into a better groove around engaging data and making sound decisions and not being knee-jerk or making things just on gut. And I think it's a really good thing. We got a long way to go, but I think it's already shifting. It's been hard, but it's already shifting.
Jason, this year obviously so unique with pandemic that affected everybody, and there's not a lot of fans in the stands getting the normal NFL experience. But with what you're talking about at a high level, let's say I'm a regular rank and file guy that bought a ticket to a game. How will that translate to me? Like if I'm just a fan attending a football team game, what will be different from my experience going forward when there are fans back in the stands, hopefully sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I'll give a couple examples. We're in the process of hiring a new head of ticketing and events, and one of the first things that they'll be doing is getting under the fact base we're collecting now around what actually drives value for our season ticket members. Is it actually the concessions that we have currently, or would it be a different set? Is parking and the way in and out of the stadium the most critical thing that needs to shift? Do we need to develop something like a family section where those, for the folks that don't want to be around beer spilling and raucousness, while the rest of us might want to be around that, is there a way for them to bring their kids to the game in a way that doesn't expose them to that, so that you can have a family-oriented experience? And how do we design a section that is intended for the more party-going type and actually make those experiences separate and bespoke and unique and design them really well? Those are the types of things that I want this more strategic leader to be doing, and we're bringing in someone with that talent. We're also hiring a VP of guest experience that I'm bringing in people from a background like Disney Imagineer type, so that the actual physical experience of when you walk into the venue isn't like just walking through a concrete parking lot and into a stadium that's maybe got some rust on the outside of it. It should feel like you're going to a high-end event, something that has been specifically designed for you. And that's the type of experience we want to build. So we're bringing in leaders and taking an approach that should get you there. Hopefully that answers your question a little bit.
I think it does. Yeah, Jason Wright is with us, the team president, Washington football team. So one thing I noticed that was different this year, and I don't know if this was luck, I don't know if you guys did anything differently, but the field – the actual field, the grass, yeah. the actual thing that you play on, which has been a disaster for a long, long time, was not anymore. And so I will heap that into the win pile. But what I think, Jason, I don't know if like you got here and you said, you know, I know a lot about growing grass, and here's what I think. Like,
are you a grass guy?
I'm not saying that that was you, but here's what I am saying. Because there were no concerts, because there were no soccer games, because West yeah. Virginia wasn't playing Maryland on the week before the preseason, none of that could hurt. And I've always said, until we can figure out the field thing, can we stop doing other stuff? Can we stop having Taylor Swift in August? And I understand that people have to make money, but did that help, do you think, not having those other events? Was that a factor? Is that something that is being looked at as
a
possibility?
I'll start with your last one. We definitely still need to make money, okay? So, no, don't try to kill my cash flow. That said, our ops team under Chris Boyer and our grounds crew, they've actually been doing well with this for a couple years now. But, you know, reputation is sticky.
True.
So, you know, when it was crap before, it's hard for people to shed that. And when you're mad and you really just want to crap on the team because, you know, something went wrong, it's easy to go there. They've actually been doing a good job of this for a couple years. But it was excellent this year, and it was something we did focus on. Also with our practice fields, I'm looking out at our practice fields right now here in Ashburn, and they're all torn up and they're being redone. Why? Because we needed better drainage so that they were safer after inclement weather. We could practice on them more often, didn't have to spend as much time on the indoor. And why it was a priority for me is hearkening back to me as a player. Like, your surface needs to be one that, number one, you can be on, that reduces wear and tear on you, that allows you to get in and out of your breaks easily. And I know that provides a competitive advantage, not just for one single game, but over the long term. And so it was easy for us to make those a priority and focus on those investments because my ops team had the capability and been doing a good job for a while, and I'm willing to splash the cash that's needed to do that because I believe in it.
Jason Wright, Washington Football Team President, is with us here on Grant and Andy. Kind of has to give us a few minutes. Jason, there are some interviews taking place now for a general manager spot on the football side of things. I generally know, speaking of, I'm overusing the word generally, I generally know what a general manager does in most teams. But when there's a huge figure like Ron Rivera kind of overseeing all that, it's a bit of a different, maybe morphed role. I'd love for you to go into that a little bit. What's this new hire or whoever ends up getting that role, what are they going to do and how might that differ from other teams?
Yeah, I would throw it back into like, do you though actually know what the general manager's doing on every team?
It's one of those things
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Candid parties, I know, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I think you're fronting a little bit because, and I think we all are, who are not in the inner circle, because it does vary team by team. You know, it depends on, you know, the split of roles and responsibilities between the head coach, the general manager, and if the president is involved on the football side, which is not here, the president as well. So it really is like 32 versions of it. That said, the construct that Ron is developing will certainly be unique to him. And I don't know exactly how they're thinking about roles and responsibilities. I'm only here to help if he asks me to help, right? As a friend and as a thought partner. But I can tell you the type of person that Ron is going to go for, because I know what he looks for in leaders. He doesn't look for yes men. You know, he's not the type of person who's looking for someone who's going to co-sign on his idea, make him feel good about it, pat him on the back, and keep it moving.
You know, he wants someone to challenge his thinking. You know, you don't hire a defense coordinator like Jack Del Rio, who is an accomplished and successful head coach, not a wallflower personality-wise, to lead your defense when you're entering this if you don't, if you want yes men, right? So he's looking for people who are capable leaders who will express and voice their opinion. He's looking for people who have a strong perspective and strategy. You know, he wants people that, even if he disagrees, have an ethos, a logic, a manner of thinking behind what, how they've approached something, and can explain it and break it down. And he's looking for people that are fantastic people leaders, that build great culture around them, that will develop a healthy environment with the scouts and personnel folks that work underneath them, that look for diverse talent. You know, those are the things that I know he's looking for in people. And so no matter what, we're going to get a slam dunk hire, I'm sure, because he'll hold to those things.
And that's good to hear, because I'm sure you're aware of some of the concerns of fans, and I can speak for myself. When you start hearing, and it's not a bad thing necessarily that you hire people you're familiar with. I think a lot of people do that, and they can be successful in business. If I got a radio show in another market, I might call some of the guys that I worked with here and say, hey, let's get the band together. But when you start to hear, this guy worked with him in Carolina, this guy worked with him here, you think, well, maybe he's just getting his buddies in the room that are all going to agree. So I think that's an interesting perspective.
And I think about it as he's probably getting the folks that he knows compliment him, you know?
Yep.
Like if that's, you know, like with when you bring in folks that you're familiar with, or when, you know, those names pop up, like for me, I brought in a chief of staff that worked with me at my former firm. Why? Because I know she would call me out on my bull crap. If I'm way to the left on something, she's going to tell me. And she's going to get me right, and she's going to draw me back into the data. And so I brought her in not because she's agreeable, but because she's smart and she pushes me. And my expectation is if Ron were to go the direction of somebody that's familiar to him, that would be exactly why.
You're finding out why Jason Wright is a team president, and a groundbreaking hire that Washington made this year as he's joining us on G&D. You guys made the tough decision. There are teams we'll be watching in the playoffs that had fans, allowed a few thousand people. You opted not to in the postseason. And, in fact, I think ultimately only had one game with fans. You had fans, family and friends in some other games. Can you just take us through when you opted to open the stadium, why you did that the one time, what you found out that led to you shutting things down after the fact?
Yeah, we always did as much as we could under government guidelines. That was our barometer all along the way. So when we were able to, that was the max we could get to when we were working with Prince George's and the state. And for the playoff game, we just didn't have leeway. And I have to respect the authorities. They, you know, they've got the line of sight into the data and trends for the area. They're the stewards of public health, and we're going to be good stewards of that and fall in line with what they request. But heading into next year, we won't be in that situation. And I'm so glad, because 1 year was enough of that. We missed our fans desperately. And if we could have had them there last week, we would have, and it probably would have made a difference.
Jason, obviously the backdrop, you touched on it, COVID pandemic, that's crazy. There's stuff that was happening before you got here, and there's stuff being investigated now that happened, again, before you got here. What has been your biggest challenge since you walked in the door? You were kind enough to join us before there was your nameplate was even on your office door. You're like, I'm not even there yet, and you're still talking to us, which was really, really nice of you. But once you got settled in, you got to work, what's the first thing that came across your desk, and what's been your biggest challenge?
Well, you know, what I thought it was going to be was actually going to be navigating COVID. But I do want to give some public props to Chris Bloyer, our ops team, and Ryan Vermillion, our head trainer. We outperformed everyone in the league when it came to COVID cases within our team. And it's because of their diligence, because of their attention to detail, because of their use of technology, but also how they drove accountability culture across the organization with staff and with players, et cetera. And so I think we only had two people that were COVID cases, and they at the time weren't even active roster folks, you know? And so that is something to be commended. And I thought that was going to be the thing I spent all my time on, but man, they had that stuff locked on. Now, did we have to spend a lot of time in it? And yes, we did, but the plan was in place. I think the bigger thing for me was figuring out how we got in the right leadership team, how we very quickly changed all of our HR processes, policies, and procedures that made us a highly professionalized workplace
of the type that you would expect and be excited to work at, and also figure out how we re-engage and rebuild trust with our fans. Right? There's a need for us to communicate more openly, and hopefully we've made a good down payment on that. And then we'll continue to, as some of our big initiatives roll out. And then, you know, the rest of the stuff you'll see, but we're going to treat this like a, you know, a proper business going forward. And hopefully that pays real big dividends for the rest of y'all.
You speak to that candor. One of the things when we opened up a couple of forums today and tried to figure out what people wanted to hear about was that they wanted to at least have us ask you about what's going on with Dan Snyder, your direct boss. I know this isn't something that directly involves you, but I want to know how it affects or influences your day-to-day in any way, your involvement in any way. I mean, Snyder's got a couple of things he's dealing with right now. He's fighting with co-owners, mm-hmm. obviously. He's got harassment situations he's still dealing with. I mean, is that something that ends up on your desk in any way? How are you involved, if at all, in any of that, and how does that influence you?
Yeah, the stuff with Dan and the minority owners, I don't know anything about. And I have enough on my plate. I am happy to work and put in the work and let Dan handle what Dan needs to handle. But my working relationship with Dan has been fantastic. He's given me the autonomy to do what I need to do. He gives me insights on the historical context of things that have happened in the organization. He's got a large amount of institutional knowledge. He's a great thought partner for me, but he lets me do my thing. And he's been supportive of all the decisions I've made, including, you know, the big leadership changes that needed to be made of, you know, people he had worked with for years, you know? So I've appreciated his partnership, deeply. And I think, you know, for the rest of it, you know, it'll pan out how it pans out. And for me, it actually changes nothing, though, about what I need to do in thinking about the value we need to bring to fans, making sure that a season ticket member feels like it is worth all of their hard-earned paycheck, of having an experience where people leave delighted by what happened. Even if we were to lose a game, you leave feeling like, damn, that was a good use of my time, and I'm closer with my family or my friends or my boys because of it. Like, those are the things that really matter most.
So you touched on that, Jason, leads me to my question here. What are your metrics for success? I mean, that's hard to quantify and measure on a data sheet. That's an individual experience that you're touching on there. But for you, what does success look like? And I think we kind of all would say, hey, let's take a mulligan on this year where you don't have that same normal fan-type engagement. But what does success look like going forward for you?
Yeah, I won't bore you guys with all the wonky financial stuff that I would, you know, set out as our, you know, financial goals, and we're in the process of resetting those. But at a more sort of heart level, things that make sense, you know, we are establishing a multi-year plan to fill our stadium with our fans. Right. And so, you know, 2, 3, 4 years from now, we should have at FedEx Field 70,000 people or 60,000 people. Then they should be in burgundy and gold, not wearing Eagles green or, you know, that Dallas team's blue or Giants blue and red. That is a very concrete goal by which I will measure our success. And that includes getting season ticket member value right, of thinking about the way we use brokers, the way that we do marketing, reaching out to new demographics of fans, trying to capture Gen Z. I mean, like, there's all sorts of things that we can do from a business standpoint to get there. And we're starting to make those moves. You probably saw that our social media and content crew won a bunch of awards this year and just frankly did a damn good job communicating a different tone and an edginess to our brand that we want to have and carry forward. And that should be able to attract some of those new folks. So, you know, there are things like that. And at the right time, I'll communicate that with y'all too, when we're all aligned on it as an organization. But that's one concrete example I can give you that can tell you if I'm doing a good job or not.
Jason Wright played in the league and is now the president of the Washington football team. You mentioned Gen Z. Not something I was even thinking about, but now that you brought it up, how about, you know, I think about the Nationals and the Capitals and the growth of those fan bases. And you might shut me mm-hmm. down, Jason, and you might just say, dude, those teams win all the time. And maybe you're right about that, okay? But there is something to be said for non-D.C. people that live here in this transient city. And I can't tell you how many of them now love the Nationals, now love mm-hmm. the Capitals. Like, those are their teams. And that's not really a thing for Washington football. And I don't know if it's because of the winning or the losing. I really don't know. But what's your thought on that? I'm curious.
No, I feel like you know, there's a refrain that exists in pro sports of you know, well, it's all just about winning on the field. And when the team wins, is it better for us on the business side? Oh, hell yes. Absolutely it is. But I also see it as an excuse for not actually putting into practice good, creative marketing, honest, transparent engagement with fans, great business processes, smart investments in your stadium. Like, all of that of, like, if they just win, all the business takes care of itself is an excuse for not actually running a good business. And I think what other teams in the area have done to capture new fan bases and attract new fans is exactly that. They've run a damn good business. And we are absolutely starting to do that. And we're bringing in the leaders, investing in the right processes, and taking on some of these bold, audacious goals, whether it's, you know, filling the stadium and doing a really good rebrand that that positions us well to attract folks going forward. Those are the types of things we have to do. We got to get on our stuff.
Jason Wright's with us here on Grant and Danny. Two choices as I see it here for you, and it's totally up to you. Choice number one, you have an open forum and a platform to reveal what the new name is going to be. Feel free to do that right here on our show. That'd be a lot of fun. But choice number two, short of that, is how can you update us? Give fans a morsel here.
I don't like choice number two. Let's just do choice number one. Drum roll,
choice
please.
One is really good.
Choice number one is a pipe dream. Choice number two, however, I'm happy to give you some insights into, although my marketing team might hand slap because, you know, we're trying to reveal things when we can really say something substantive, but I'll just tell you where we're at. You know, there have been over 10,000 submissions of different names and mock-ups and things like that to us. A lot through the Washington Journey site, a lot through mail. People call in, they get my assistant, and they drop names with her. I mean, it's remarkable, the amount of energy. It's from around the world. And what we're using advanced analytics to go beyond just tallying names and counting stuff up to actually analyzing the common words that are in submissions, seeing the common aspects of design that are in each. We're really using some advanced techniques to actually glean a bunch of insights as to why people have put these forward as a starting point. We've also engaged in a detailed way with about 3,000 current, lapsed, and potential fans. To understand what they're looking for in identity and what they like about us. So I don't want to share too much of those insights because this is where I really get in trouble with my team, because we need to talk to a lot more people before we say, like, hey, here's what people care about definitively. But a few things are starting to come clear. You know, number one, burgundy and gold should never change, period. Like, that is a core aspect of the identity of this team. And we know it is important from all this research as well to make sure we don't feel like an expansion club and we're tied to the history. We have to keep the burgundy and gold as the centerpiece of all of this. The other thing that we've heard clearly is that something random would land poorly. We need something that's connected to the history of the club or to the area or to something else that is meaningful to the fan base already, meaningful to the area, et cetera. So picking some random ass bird mascot doesn't feel like the right approach, at least from what we've seen so far. And then a lot of what we've heard in this detailed engagement with current lapsed potential fans is actually that the passion and the care on this is actually well beyond just the name or logo. It's actually about what we represent as a club. People are actually very interested in making sure we operate in a way that brings pride to the fan base, both on the field, the type of players we bring in, the caliber of coaches, their integrity, their character, all of that. And also on the business side, there is some pressure there to say, we want you to act like a professionalized organization. Don't be some rinky-dink operation. You know, represent the fan base and the brand in a way that makes us feel proud to be associated with you. They want us to be heavily engaged with the community. This came out a ton. Look, you guys need to, you can and should do more in charitable, and that should be linked to the brand. And that's what makes us feel good about being a part of the Washington football family or whatever the future moniker is. And then the last one was that they wanted a bit of a sense of aggression, of boldness, of edginess, not just on the field. They certainly want that on the field. And I would say we have that most certainly. But also in what we do off the field, in our marketing approach, in our off-field persona, in the way that we think about business operations and crafting the fan experience. You know, we are a strong fan base that is proud, that isn't soft,
that's a little bit like to think of ourselves a little bit rough around the edges. And I think that's right. And those things need to be expressed in whatever identity we land on.
A couple of moments left with Jason Wright, who we've probably already kept too long. You are on record as saying at some point, I don't remember when this was, but that Washington football team is in play or could be the permanent name. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that fair? I think I read that at some point.
Everything is in play. We haven't cut anything down. You know,
gotcha.
We haven't cut anything down, mainly because, you know, we need to listen a whole lot more before we cut anything down.
So my opinion is next to like other opinion that doesn't matter in your pile, I'm sure.
Go ahead. No, I'll pretend right now that it's more important.
All right.
Go ahead,
that's
man.
Nice of you. Thank you. When I heard Washington football team, all about it, and still to this day, dig it, like it, think it's a really cool placeholder. For me, it would feel weird if there was just never a name. It just would feel like it wouldn't feel like that's the name. It would feel like we didn't pick a name.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people feel like it's a great placeholder, but if it's just that forever, they would feel differently about it. And here's my question back at you. I know you're a big proponent of, and I've been trying to get people to do this too, instead of just saying like the football team, say Washington. But the problem with that becomes when you say like so-and-so, you know, you got the Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Washingtons?
Yep.
That's where it doesn't quite work in, like, this line of business that well. That's all.
Yeah, I think one of the things we can do, and obviously we, you know, if it's not the long-term name, we just have another season, right, to work with folks on it. But I think there's more we can do to help train folks in the media to say it in a way that rolls more off the tongue. And also, there's actually a tricky thing. Actually, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but most of the stuff you see online, it's generated by algorithms. So when it says, like, Eagles and football team, it's because they just took the computer just takes the two words, the two parts of the official identity, and it just slots it in.
Oh, interesting.
And so no human ever did that. And so there's little things now that we have more time that we can do better while this is still in place. You know, while this interim name is still in place. So we can actually do some things to make it better. Because it was a quick turn, man, from the rescission of the old name to the start of the season. You know, a normal process of a rebrand takes like 3-4 years. They did this interim one in a matter of weeks. And so we can get a bit buttoned up and polished. But I take your point, man. I take your point. There's some training we can do with media. But also that's a consideration for the longer term. Like, how easy is it for people to adopt and embrace the new moniker. It's a legit consideration.
Well, I mean, for guys like me, Jason, I would still root for them if it was the Washington Random Ass Bird. I mean, I would. I don't care. I'm from here. I love D.C. Just beat the Cowboys.
Rabs,
I'll be happy.
The Rabs.
Yeah, let's go Rabs. What is and you may have said this, but I wanted to just double click for clarity. Do you have a timetable kind of updated? I know you said you're in a listening phase, but when do you expect sort of to move to the next phase of that timetable?
Yeah, we will definitely be in the interim through next season. I think I've said that before. So we have the interim through the 21 season, though we may have the name before that. We wouldn't announce it because, and I give this analogy to y'all, like, you know, I have some, we'll call them entrepreneurial family members, you know, the cousins that when it would make the silk screen, like Tupac t-shirts that they'd sell at the mall for $5. You know what I'm saying? and if we release a name before we have trademarking buttoned up and logo done and have worked with Nike and the league to have everything approved, the NFL is pretty tight with this stuff. You know, other leagues are a bit more free flow with merchandise and things like that. If we do all of that before that's buttoned up, we're going to have a bunch of versions of my cousin's bootleg knockoff stuff released. And if we've heard one thing from our fan base, is that they want us to be professional. They want this to be buttoned up. They want this new moniker to be a source of pride. And so the way that we launch, being buttoned up, making sure it is the proper launch, all of that is incredibly important. And there's literally no way to do that before next season, just with all the milestones they've already passed. We would have had to done it earlier this year to be able to have it ready for next season. But even if we have the name, we're going to roll it out in a right way that represents you all properly. And so while we might have it before next season, we'll announce it at exactly the right time when all that stuff is buttoned up.
Well, we look forward to having you back on for that announcement. That'll be great for the show and great for you as well. But kidding aside, Jason, this was a record length in interview, I think, for our show. So, number one, you made it through. You didn't need a water break, so that's good. And number two, thanks for the support the last several days, and we appreciate you being willing to come on the show and by way of us kind of speak to the fans. That means a lot, and it's a nice departure from your predecessor.
Of course. Y'all are killing it. You guys are doing a great job. It's an exciting time for the fan base, and I know you guys saw the schedule release. We got some great home games next year, and so hopefully it'll be great to see you, many other folks, you know, back in the stadium next year, and we can do this together in person.
Can't wait. Look forward to it. Jason Wright, the team president, Washington football team, this on Grant and Danny. There is a lot to get to from that conversation. We'll spend next hour discussing some of it. The 5 at 5 in moments.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.